You're listening to a People of Note podcast, as heard on Classic 1027.
A very good evening to you, and welcome to People of Note on Classic 1027 with me, Richard Cock. As you well know, this program is broadcast every Sunday from 6 to 8, and in it I talk to someone who is a person of note, and we listen to music of their choice. And I'm very happy to tell you that tonight I've got the newly appointed director of music from the Drakensberg Boys Choir, Vaughan van Sail. Good evening.
Good evening, Richard, and good evening to all the listeners.
It's great to have you on the program and to know that you're going down to the Drakensberg. From when is it?
It's from January 2021. That's next year.
When hopefully things will be opened up again.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm very pleased to say that the choir has started concerts again, although it's just for an audience of 50 people, like, you know, their rules.
In their own auditorium.
In their own auditorium. At the moment, they, you know, they still can't travel, but at least they are starting. They can do something.
Well, and I hope that plans are starting to be put together for next year, because one of their big things is travel.
Absolutely. We've got I'm going down to the school soon to attend one of the concerts, but then also to sit down with the headmaster and with the head of academics to start with the planning for 2021. So we've already started that, and yes, we've looking at possibilities for traveling and to be back to normal.
One hopes it will be opened again to normal travel, but who knows, because life is very different now to what it was when you were a boy there, were you?
Absolutely, yes. I was there. I went as a boy in 1982, which is a couple of years ago, and I was there until my standard 7 year, which is now grade 9. They only go up to grade 9, and then from there I went to my hometown back in Heidelberg, to Hoër Volksschool, Heidelberg.
So that's where you come from?
That's where I come from. That's where I grew up. Partly grew up in the Drakensberg, but most of the time, Heidelberg, that's my hometown.
But obviously, important years that you spent at the choir school.
Yes, Richard. You know, that is where my music foundation was laid, by the most wonderful, wonderful mentors and music staff, and you very well known Bunny Ashley Buerta, who sadly passed away about nearly 6 years ago. But he played a vital role in the forming years of my, you know, of my music.
Yeah, as he did with mine, because not that I was a boy at Drakensberg, but he was the head chorister of my school choir when I was at school. And even then, he must have been 17, I guess, 16 or 17. He was an impressive character. That's even then.
That was in Bishop's,
yes.
Cape Town. That's correct. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what was he like as a boy?
He was very imposing, actually. I was in awe of him. I was a new boy, so I was in Standard 6 when he was in matric, and he stayed for an extra year to do post-matric, so I had 2 years of him as head chorister. And he was a very impressive guy. He played a variety of instruments.
Right.
He conducted the choir. He conducted in the city hall with an orchestra. He was amazing as a schoolboy. He was almost like the assistant director of music in the school,
wow,
even when he was still at school.
Because I remember that he used to speak with very fond memories of Bishop's and the director of music, Claude Brown.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why I had to ask you the question, because I've known Bunny for 32 years, and so many people have known him. But, you know, we've never been able to speak to somebody who was at school with him and who knew him as a boy, because he was just one huge figure and an amazing man.
Yeah. Well, I've written a short article about him, and there was another guy, too, who followed him, Alec Grant, who had a big influence on me as an impressionable youth.
Wow.
And it's so important, as you well know, those years when people are young, and we'll talk about this in our next excerpt. But I think let's start with, because you've chosen a great list of music, and we're going to start with Fauré's Requiem. This is the Sanctus from the Fauré Requiem, by sung by St. John's College, Cambridge, under Stephen Clearbury. That was the Sanctus from the Requiem by Gabriel Fauré, conducted by Stephen Clearbury. The choice of Vaughan van Sail, who's my guest in People of Note. He will be the director of music at the Drakensberg Boys Choir School from January the 1st next year. Tell me about your years there, because obviously you were selected somehow to go to the Drakensberg Boys Choir School.
Yes, you know, Richard, it's actually, we went down for a family holiday in, I think, if I'm correct, was 1980. And we stayed in the then Cathkin Park. It was a, you know, with chalets and so on. And my father took me to the choir school, and he said, wouldn't I like to come to this school? And I looked at it and I thought to myself, no ways, because it's too far away from home.
And you had to be a boarder.
It was, you know, it was just so far away. And, you know, I thought to myself, I can't be away from home like that. And then my dad and I went on a fishing. We went to camp at the Fall Dam then, and we went fishing in the year after, 1981. And that night we were sleeping in the tent, and I got up and I said to my dad, I think I want to go to this school, because then I had sung my first I Stedford. The very first song I sang was Hasi Any Borsi. It's a cute little kiddie song. Anyway, so we went down. I did the audition with Bunny. And I said that he's the first, because the day after he passed away, I was down in the Berg when I went to, at least I saw him the day before he passed away. And there was a memorial the day after he passed away. And I was asked to just say a couple of things about him, because we were great friends right up until the end. And I remember at the choir school, we had to go through the school and then through the matron's flat. And we had to jump over a little wall, a low little wall. Bunny jumped first and then myself. And I said that was the first leap him and I took together. And little did I know that we would become wonderful colleagues later on when I was an adult. But yes, so I was got a place into the choir school, and I had the most fantastic time. You know, with all the different, as I say, the music education is one thing, but then with all the different tours and international tours we had, and that's where I also started my piano lessons towards the end of Standard 5. And it was great.
It was a great grounding for you.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And even if I speak to other old boys, they would all agree, you know, even the boys who didn't pursue a music career, but most definitely the ones who is in the music industry.
Yeah, of which there are many now.
Yes, now yeah. There are many.
Well, I think let's listen to the Drakensberg Boys Choir. They're going to sing a piece by Jan Pieterszoon Sweelinck. It's a wonderful piece called Hodie Christus Natus Est.
Yes, that's right. It's actually a piece we recorded a Christmas. The CD is called Christmas with the Drakensberg. And, I conducted this back then. We recorded it in Durban and St. Paul's.
Was this when you were still a boy or afterwards?
When I was a choir master.
Okay, later. Well, you're going to tell us about that after this. But here they come. This is the Drakensberg Boys Choir, Hodie Christus Natus Est. That was Hodie Christus Natus Est by Jan Pieterszoon Sweelinck, sung by the Drakensberg Boys Choir and conducted by you.
That's right. That's correct.
So just give us the sequence of events. You were at Drakies. You then went back to school in Heidelberg. And then?
Yes, I matriculated in Heidelberg, Wurfolkschool, and then I went to do my 2-year military training, and originally I was called up to go into the infantry in Palaborwa, and I thought to myself, you know, my brother was in the infantry. I thought, you know, I want to sing, and so we had to quickly make another plan. I said to my father, please, you know, can we not try to do an audition with the Canaries, the South African Defence Force Church Choir and Concert Group of the time. And my father actually got through. I'm not sure how it worked, but when the commanding officer, who was Duomini Kotsia, heard, you know, of my musical background, he said, if I'm in the Valhalla Air Force Base that afternoon, he can do an audition, because apparently they had already selected the choir, or it was, you know, and nearly sent out all the notifications. And then I got a place into the Canaries, which I was very thankful for.
So you continued with your musical activities then,
yes,
for the next 2 years?
Yes, absolutely.
As conductor or singer or what?
What I did in the first year, we were just a, what they called in Afrikaans, vlugman or flight man, a troop. And then in my second year, I was a conductor. We were four conductors in the Canaries because there were all the young men, all the guys were, you know, had some other musical background or could play some sort of instrument, you know, and many brilliant ones.
Yeah. So it was a smart group.
Very smart group. Yeah. No, we, you know, we were really like brothers, and we, you know, we did a lot of concerts, we toured a lot, so that was great fun.
Yeah. And then you, after that, you went?
Then, when, it was during that time when military service was just all of a sudden shortened. We had to, instead of the end of the year, which is the end of 1990, we had to finish end of July. And, you know, what do you do? There's a whole half a year left. So I actually then spoke to Bunny at the choir school, and he said, what about me going back as a student choir master? Because he wanted to start that project. And I was the first student choir master as an old boy to go back to Drakies.
Gosh, so your relationship with the school has been deep and long.
Very. Yeah. Yes, nearly 40 years now.
Yeah.
It's been nearly 40 years. So it was continuously, you know, my relationship was a continuous.
On and off, but continuous.
On and off,
yeah.
but continuous.
Now, you were talking about flying and being a member of the Canaries, and we don't have a canary piece, but we do have a bluebird piece, which is a very beautiful piece.
Very.
Yeah.
It's also a piece that I was exposed to way back at the Drakensberg, and I just love it. I think it is one of the most beautiful pieces.
It is, with the bluebird just hovering
That's
on
right.
the air at the
That's
end.
That's right.
This is sung by the choir of Gonville and Caius College, and it's The Bluebird by Charles Villiers Stanford. That was The Bluebird by the British-Irish composer Charles Villiers Stanford. It was sung by the choir of Gonville and Caius College in Cambridge, and it's the choice of Vaughan Fonsale, who's my guest in People of Note. As you can hear, he's had a long and fruitful relationship with the Drakensberg Boys Choir, and he's going back from January the 1st as the director of music. So you went there as a student conductor, and then you obviously did quite a lot with them while you were there.
Yes.
This was when? Early 1990s?
This was at the end of 90. It was September 1990 until the end of, if I remember correctly, towards the end of 1991.
Which was an exciting period in South Africa
because
things were starting to happen and open up.
Absolutely. And what, you know, Drakies over the years have been doing the African music programs, which they're very well known for. And in 1985, when I was a boy at the school, I was in Standard 7, my senior year, that was the first year we actually did African music. Bunny Ashley Buerta brought an African music program in with the help and the support of Andrew Tracy from Grahamstown.
And this was the beginning of the period when choirs started singing African music.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you guys sort of led the way.
We led the way. It was not like it is today because we did the singing of the different pieces. But, you know, when it comes to the movements, we looked like cavemen because we were just said, you know, we were said, just move, just dance. So there was nothing choreographed because it was, you know, very... It was very new, so I've got a video. Actually, if I look back to it, it's incredible. You know, so we danced like crazy. Every boy just did their own movements, and then the African music was left. We didn't do it again, or Drakies didn't do it again after 85, and then as a student choir master, the international choir, which at the time was the two. Different choirs with the two choir masters at the choir school, which that it worked like that for many years, and then they would select an international choir to tour overseas from the two choirs, and then I said to the conductor who was taking the choir overseas, Boetes Gresse at the time, I said, well, you know, what about this African music program? Let's revive it. So we did, and that's where we actually started with the African music again because I was accompanist. I was appointed to be the accompanist for that tour to Greece.
And you probably had some young kids in the choir who knew how to dance by then.
A few. But we worked very, very hard. And I remember that with the Click song, I don't know if they still do it up to this day, but they did continue to do it for a couple of years after that. We did our final rehearsals in the Linda Auditorium, which you also know very well. It's like a second home for you. And the choir was moving on stage. Then I thought, the Click song, the Kongo Tuane, I thought, wait, let's get some of the staff there. And there were some ladies who were cleaning. And I said, please come to the stage of the auditorium and show us some movements in specific places. And they actually did it, and the boys did it, and those movements were kept for years after that.
Well, your next choice is Shosholoza. So just tell us a bit about this.
Shosholoza, of course, is like a lot of people say second national anthem. One of the times that I was, that I was privileged enough to meet President Nelson Mandela was at the opening of the International Convention Center in Durban. And we had a big concert there with VIP guests, and he was one of them. And in the program, we did Shosholoza. And, I think he heard that piece, he would get up. And he actually that evening got up from his chair, which was in the front row, and he came to stand next to me. And both of us sort of like did the Madiba jive. Or I tried, he did.
So there we are. This is Shosholoza, sung by the Drakensberg Boys Choir. That was Shosholoza, sung by the Drakensberg Boys Choir. And it's the choice of Vaughan van Sail, who's my guest in People of Note, who's going there in January. Are you looking forward to getting back to the mountains?
Richard, very, very much. I really am. I'm starting to get, I am so excited about it. And I'm already, thinking ahead, the time we're going to have. And it's going to be a lot of hard work, but I think I'm ready for it. Now I'm very excited.
Yeah. And you've already been doing some auditions.
Yes.
For next year.
That's correct. We've started doing auditions. I did some auditions in Joburg on Saturday. We've already started.
And if people want to audition, or if they want their grandchildren or children, what must they do?
They can contact the school, because the school, they're planning auditions in different places throughout South Africa. And they can just contact the marketing manager. Can I give the email address?
Yes.
It's marketing@dbchoir.com. They can just send an email. The marketing manager is Deirdre Alcock. Or they can phone the school on 036-468-1012.
I remember that number well.
Yes.
So there you are, marketing@dbchoir.com, or the phone number 036-468-1012. Because I remember you just mentioned Betty,
yes,
Bunny's wife, and she used to answer the phone.
That's correct. Yes, no, she did, because she also worked at the choir school. Yeah. She actually taught me when I was in Standard 4. She taught me geography and Afrikaans, because she was a qualified teacher as well.
Yeah, because obviously I had a lot to do with them over the years. We've done a lot of things together with my choirs and with Starlight Classics. Over the years, we've worked many, many times together.
That's right, a lot of good times.
A lot of good times.
And I know that Bunny always enjoyed it, and the boys as well.
Yeah. And one of the things that we did do once was Carmina Burana. We often provided the men because they were still so young, were not often strong singers.
That's right, tenors and basses, because it's like we also did the Carmina with the Canaries way back, because of the same reason, for the more mature tenor and bass voices who could do the parts.
And we're going to play this, and then you're going to tell me what's behind it. This is the Drakensberg Boys Choir, the Canaries that you've talked about, and Imi Longicantu Choral Society performing O Fortuna. O Fortuna, tell us about that.
This was quite an amazing project we did in 1995. Because the South African Air Force turned 75, and they wanted to do a big, huge
celebration
of it. And it was decided that they're going to do it on top of the, you know, Drakensberg. If you at the school and you look at the what we call the Rolls Royce, you know, you look right at the top there. So they had this huge project, and the VIP guest was then President Nelson Mandela. But then the Air Force decided that we must make a CD, which we could present to Madiba at the top of the mountain. He would get the first copy of it. And we did the project. We recorded the CD up in Johannesburg. If I remember correctly, it was Downtown Studios, which was Drakies, as you said, the Canaries, and the Imilonji Kantu Choral Society. And one of the tracks was this one that you've just heard, was the O Fortuna, accompanied by the Air Force Band, which is...
Who were also on top of the mountain, or not?
No. They didn't go... No, we actually, at the top of the mountain, they flew us all up, all through the choirs, but all the music was done just with a piano accompaniment. So they had to fly the piano up as well. And the poor, I remember the piano tuner, his name was Ian. And he was afraid of heights, and he had to fly up before the rehearsal to go and tune the piano, and then they had to fly him up again just before the concert to retune it, because it had to stay outside overnight. But they closed it with if I can remember, you know, these sails, they covered it up. It was upright, but it was quite something to accompany right at the top of the mountain.
Well, at least you had the Air Force involved, so you didn't have to pay someone to get you up and down.
No, precisely, they did all of that. But the Air Force did actually do percussion in the O Fortuna.
And the boys must have loved this, flying around in helicopters.
They did. Yeah. They did. They absolutely loved it. There were a few helicopters that flew us up, and they had stands up there with seats and flag poles with the South African flags and the different choir flags and the Air Force flag, and it was quite an amazing experience. Yeah. It was pretty chilly up there.
And I'm sure that, as on similar occasions, Madiba shook hands with everyone.
He did.
Yeah.
Straight after, well, once again he came down at the end of the concert, because we sang Shojoloza, and he came down and did the Madiba jive with the whole standing in front of all the choristers. And then he actually went, after that, he went to sit on my seat. And but then after a while he got up as the choir left, all the choristers, you know, left their choir lines, and he shook every single person's hand who performed that day.
Yeah, it is amazing how he did that time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was amazing.
Quite amazing. Now, obviously, though, you were on high land at that time, right up at the top of the mountain, and your next choice is Highland Cathedral, and this is André Rieu at the New Year concert in Sydney. This is not with the Drakies, I guess.
Not with the Drakies, no. It's just them.
Yeah, here it comes. That was Highland Cathedral, as performed by André Rieu at the New Year concert in Sydney. That was done in 2018. And I see you've also got some more up-to-date recordings from the Ndlovu Youth Choir. Now, this is an interesting choir, because there were several people who came out of the Drakensberg Boys Choir who've become important choir masters in their own right. I'm thinking of Michael Barrett, for example.
Yes.
There have been some good singers who've come out of there. Nick Nicolaides. There are lots
van
of
Linde,
Clint van der Linde,
David Kimberg,
Hubert. Yeah, there are lots of them.
Oh, there are many of them.
Yeah. And the Ndlovu Youth Choir have gone on to do some very exciting things.
Yes. You know, Richard, I'm very, very proud of the Ndlovu Youth Choir, but then also of their choir director, who's Ralph Schmidt, also an ex-Draki. And what is so special for me about it is that he is, during the time that I was choir master at Drakies. He was my head chorister in 1997. So he has worked so, so hard. And, you know, he's got a very unique style. And, you know, he's a very inspirational person. You also know him well. You know, he's quite a vibrant person. And what he's done with this Ndlovu Youth Choir is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and he took them off to America's Got Talent and
that's correct.
Was in the finals or
that's correct.
Somehow. Yeah.
No, they went through very, very popular. I mean, they just wowed the world, actually. Not even to talk about the judges, Simon Cowell and all of that, but they've made South Africa so proud.
Yeah.
With what they've achieved over there.
And this was an important song because it came out, I think, in 94, somewhere in the early 90s, My African Dream. Vicky Sampson sang it originally.
That's correct.
And here it is sung by the Ndlovu Youth Choir. That was the Ndlovu Youth Choir singing My African Dream, an important song from the 90s.
That's correct. You know, and it says so much if you listen to it. And, I mean, this arrangement's done so well by Ralph. That, you know, and I know that you can just hear, and when you see the video, you can just see the choristers in total, you know,
they're enthralled by the
totally.
Whole thing.
Yeah. They just love what they do.
They're incredibly motivated.
Very, yeah. Very, very.
Yeah.
You know, they just, you can see that they've got a total passion for what they
yeah.
do.
Now, you yourself, though, for some years ran a song and dance group. So you're another product of the Drakies, who went on to found your own groups and choirs, but you ran something rather different, a song and dance group at Rand Afrikaans University or University of Johannesburg.
That's correct. When I left the Drakensberg Boys Choir at the end of 1998, I was actually contacted by Rita van den Heuver, and she was an amazing person as well, and still is. But while she worked at Rao, or later on became UJ, she started this musical group called the then Rao Song and Dance Company. And she contacted me and asked me whether I'd be interested in being the musical director for this song and dance company. And for me, it was a wonderful new challenge. And I said, yes, you know, why not? Because at that stage in 1998, they did their first musical with Backtracks, which was West Side Story. And then in 19...
Wow, that's quite something to start with.
It was, absolutely. And then in 1999, we did a commissioned work which was called Mabet. It was composed, the music was composed by Howard Morgan, and his ex-wife, Gay Lampert, wrote the story. And it was a love story which happened during the Anglo-Boer War. And from there and then the next musical, which was in 2000, we did Chicago. But then from there on, we used professional live musicians, which was a fantastic experience. And all the members of the group did an audition, but Rao or Hugh J, you know, there you can't go study music there or anything like that. You can't go get a degree or diploma in it. But all the students, we had a cast of about between 30 and 40. They all got a cultural bursary for being in a UJ song and dance company. And I was there for 7 years. Magic times we had.
Yeah. And since then, you've been involved with several other choirs as well.
That's correct. I conducted also the choir from Laerskool Helderkrein, which we call the Laerskool Helderkrein Kinderkoor. And then the Conspirator Choir from of Hoërskool Florida, which I still direct at this moment. And then I was also, you know, the other choirs that I at the choirs of St. Peter's in Sunninghill, the boys' prep choir, and St. Peter's College and Hoër Volksschool Heidelberg.
So you've been involved all around the place. And I remember one of the pieces that was done at UJ, I'm not sure it was when you were there, was with Carl Jenkins. They did The Armed Man. Were you there then?
I conducted that.
Oh, right.
Yes, not The Armed Man. It was
Stabat Mater, wasn't it?
No, Voices of Light,
okay.
Of Richard Einhorn.
Yes.
That's right.
But they it was a very go-ahead choir that they had there, and the song and dance group. But let's listen to part of the Mass for Peace. This is the Agnus Dei from The Armed Man by Carl Jenkins. That was the Agnus Dei from The Armed Man, a Mass for Peace, conducted by Carl Jenkins. And I remember he came out, to conduct it.
That's correct.
And I mean, you said you conducted it, but it was a momentary lapse.
Absolutely, because I was thinking of Voices of Light, which we did at UJ. But what I did for The Armed Man is that I was contacted by Renette Bauer, who's the also brilliant.
Brilliant.
Conductor of the UJ University Choir, and she asked if I was at St. Peter's boys' school at that stage, and you know, if I've got boys who might be able to sing right at the beginning, which is the Kyrie. And I actually did have a couple of boys, and she came out to listen, and the boy that was selected was called James Deacon. Beautiful, pure soprano voice that James had, and he sang in The Armed Man.
Just let's talk for a moment about boys' voices and the role that you think the Drakensberg Boys Choir can play in South Africa now. Because when they started, they were pretty well unique.
Yes.
But since then, a lot of other choirs of a similar nature have grown up around South Africa.
That's correct. I think what... It's so true what you say, because choirs it's just booming, you know, and South African choirs in particular are very popular internationally. I think because the South African choirs are so versatile, you know, in what they can do, you know, they can sing from standing still, something classical, whatever, and then just go over into movement and dance, and really South African choirs are very good in adapting to the different styles or genres of music, and we always try to do our best, for instance, doing different languages, trying to really have the pronunciation right, all the choreography, or whether it's folk music or what. And I think for quite a while, the Drakensberg Boys Choir has set a trend in the earlier years for this to happen, because they were, you know, quite in the forefront with what they did. And I think they set a trend, and choirs. I know specifically of a few choirs who followed the trend that they set, and with their unique sound and their special voices, being the boy voices.
But now the other thing that was interesting in Bunny Ashley Buerta's days, that you not only did they do that sort of concert choir stuff, but they also did things like Mozart Requiem, Messiah, St. John Passion. They did serious music as well.
Absolutely.
When you were there too.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct. I was accompanist for a lot of them. I remember we did, there were a lot of concerts that we did with full orchestra. And we had these different programs, if you take throughout the year. It was absolutely, actually mind-blowing thinking back that, you know, we could do the Mozart Requiem, and then we also had the Messiah.
And within 1 week, you could do a serious concert like that and a much lighter one.
We did that during festivals like the Music in the Mountains. So there would be the Saturday night, which was the gala concert, just totally fun with a theme. And I remember Bunny and I, the ones, you know, we were dressed up like chefs and, you know, conducting with wooden spoons and you know, make the audience just...
This sort of party time.
Absolutely, yeah. Going crazy and getting the audience participation, you know, all of that involved, which you also like a lot. Yeah. And I think that the people, the supporters, love that. They love to be a part of it. And then we'd have on the Sunday, for instance, the Messiah or, you know, the different programs.
So are you already formulating some plans for the future?
Yes, no, I'm definitely thinking about it. Part of the school's strategy is to keep on moving on with the times, because, you know, we have to do that. We have to look at, you know, where we're going and how to keep the choir appealing.
Yeah, and how to attract boys.
To attract boys and the audiences. So it's a continuous, you know, work that's got to be done. And to stay with the times, because as you've said, you know, there are now many, many choirs around. and many popular choirs and so.
So there's more competition now.
Yes, there's more competition. Yeah. But I think that what I'm very excited about is for us to, you know, keep on, you know, in the forefront of things as we go along.
So I'm going to play your next choice, which is The World in Union, PJ Powers. But I also want to talk about why you think it's important that boys go there, let's say to the Drakensberg, rather than sing in their local school choir, because the intensity that you work with there is important. So let's listen to The World in Union. And you've got a story about this, but we'll hear it afterwards. Here it comes. PJ Powers and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. That was PJ Powers and Ladysmith Black Mambazo performing World in Union.
That's correct. This, whenever I hear this piece, driving in the car or my radio's on at home, or I think back to 1995 with the Rugby World Cup, and the Drakies were asked with to go and sing the national anthems at the start of the World Cup in Newlands, down in Cape Town. And when I hear this piece, I don't so much think of that actual match. I think of the rehearsals before. You know, we went down, we stayed in a place there called the Apostel Batterij, which was a like barracks of the police or whatever it was, in the sort of mountains. But we had it was such a wonderful experience, because we all flew down from Joburg down to Cape Town. And the build-up to that first match, as I say, the rehearsals on Newlands, practicing our places and all of that, and hearing this, The World in Union, continuously, I've got the most fondest memories of that.
And did they let you watch the match?
They let us watch the match, yes. Bunny conducted the national anthem, or the two national anthems, with the two teams on the sides. One team, of course, our Springboks. And then after the match, we could go sit right next to the field and watch the match.
So now let's come back to why it's important for boys to spend time at the Drakensberg Boys Choir. What is so special about it that they should go there?
If I can talk from personal experience, it's being in an environment where all the boys are there, attend the school for the same reason, which is the choir, the music. Of course, the academics are strong. They've got their normal sport. So it's not like they don't have sport. But to be in that environment where you have two choir rehearsals a day of every day of the week, plus one concert every Wednesday afternoon in the school, in the auditorium of the school.
It's quite intense.
Very intense. So it's you know, boys come to the school who hasn't had a background of singing in a choir, and they develop the love for it. So I would say that if a boy likes singing, that is quite the place to be. Although there's nothing, you know, wrong with the local school choirs, because they work just as hard with the time that they've got. I know that because that's what I do at the moment, and it's you've just got your 2 or 3 hours a week.
You've got to fight for your slot, though.
You have to fight for your slot, and you know you've got.
Whereas at Drakensberg, you don't have to. That's the whole reason they're there.
That's right. That's the whole reason they're there. Now, it might seem like a lot of singing, but if you take all the preparation for all the different concerts and tours, is very exciting, because you continuously put programs together for a specific reason, and that is nice. And the boys have a lot of interacting in the actual, you know, preparation of these programs. And, you know, I've always said, and, you know, we've always done this, boys come up with ideas as well, and it's fantastic what they come up with regarding to certain movements or, you know, even the musical things.
I'm talking to Vaughan van Sale, who is going to be director of music at the Drakensberg Boys Choir School from January the 1st next year. And obviously he has plans for the future. I've known him for many years. And they're just doing auditions at the moment for the school. And if you're interested, or you know someone who's interested, marketing@dbchoir.com is the place to go. marketing@dbchoir.com, or there's a phone number, 036-468-1012. And I'll give that again at the end of the program. People of Note is the program on Classic 1027, and that's where we are right now. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times conducting, and you've obviously conducted the choir and orchestras for this. And your next choice is from the Enigma Variations by Edward Elgar. This is the famous Nimrod. That was Nimrod from the Enigma Variations by Edward Elgar, played by the London Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, no, I've got a great love for this piece, and it's just, you know, it's just, every time I hear it as well, I get goosebumps. You know, it just does something for the soul. And I remember very well what the first experience I got to conduct orchestra was when I was Bunny's colleague down in Drakensberg, and we did a kaleidoscope program with the Drakensberg Boys Choir. And we did the performance in the Johannesburg City Hall. And I remember you attended the rehearsal. And I'm not sure whether it was the servants' chorus from Don Pasquale, the Donizetti. And I think you still helped providing the orchestral scores for that.
Yeah.
Because that was the very first piece that I conducted, because it was a variety of programs. So it was kaleidoscope. And I remember my hands shaking as I stood in front of that intimidating orchestra.
Isn't that because the first time you do it is literally the first time you do it? I mean, there's no rehearsing anywhere. You have to stand up and do it.
And do it. You hold the baton and it's shaking. And you don't want anybody to see that. But Bunny sat, we had two chairs on either side of the podium where we conducted from. And Bunny was sitting on my right-hand side, and he said to me, "You'll be fine. Just relax and enjoy what you do." And I stood there, and as I gave the upbeat and the orchestra started playing, I think it was about 8 beats into it, it just went. I just loved it. I just really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
No, it is an amazing experience, actually, controlling a group like that who do whatever you want them to do. And they want to look good also.
Of course. And the other thing which gave me a very comforting feel is when the Drakies, the boys, actually came in and they started singing. So, and they looked at me and I knew them very well. So that helped.
And here comes another orchestral piece now. This is the Tritch Tratch Polka by Johann Strauss the second, and there is a vocal version of this, but this is just the orchestral version, or is it the vocal version?
No, this is the orchestral version, but we did, with the Drakies, we did the vocal version.
That's the
vocal version.
It's amazing how many vocal versions there are of these things, like the Blue Danube, for example, and other things, Voices of Spring.
It is. You've got to look so carefully. You can't just say, you know, give the title of a piece. You've got to actually check that it's the orchestral or the vocal.
Yeah, so here it is, Tritch Tratch Polka by Johann Strauss. That was the Tritch Tratch Polka by Johann Strauss, played by the Royal Vienna Orchestra. One of the other aspects of the boys' training at the Drakensberg Choir School is instrumental training, of course.
That's correct.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yes, they've got different instruments that they offer. And at the moment, I'm not 100% sure exactly what the instruments are, but the basic ones. So the boys have the opportunity to play, you know, and study different instruments. With the auditions, the school actually sent 4 boys up of different age groups on the last weekend that we did auditions. But there was grade 6, grade 7, and then 2 grade 9 boys. And I actually asked them, and they all 4 of them play, you know, different instruments.
Sometimes so, 2.
Some of them 2 and some 3 if you take voice into account, because they do, you know, some people think voice is not an instrument, but it is. So they do study. I would say the majority of the boys play or study an individual instrument.
Now, one of the choices you've made is from that extraordinary film, As It Is in Heaven, and it's Gabriella's song. Just tell us, because that was an amazing film.
Very inspirational. I remember I went to watch it with a very good friend of mine, Lizette, who was also my choir accompanist at the Drakensberg when I was choir master. She was my piano teacher when I was standard 9 and 10. She was young, just freshly out of Stellenbosch University. And one day she phoned me and said there's this beautiful new movie out at Cinema Nouveau, and it was this As It Is in Heaven. And I was totally blown away by the movie. You know, being a conductor myself and training choirs and working with the voices and just seeing the story about this conductor and with this Gabriela song, which was just mind-blowing.
Here it is, Gabriela's song from the movie As It Is in Heaven. That was Gabriela's song from As It Is in Heaven, the choice of Vaughan van Sail, who's my guest in People of Note. And as you've heard, he will be the new director of music at the Drakensberg Boys Choir School from the 1st of January next year. And actually, we've got a link with Classic 1027, because one of our announcers, Shireen Hollier, has a boy at the school.
That's correct. And I met her last week because we, as I say, we did the auditions, and she did a wonderful interview with us the other day on Classic FM. And what a vibrant, inspirational, lively person she is, and a great presenter as well. Yeah. So, and I know that she loves the fact that, you know, to be involved with the Drakies, with her son being there as well.
So it's going to be a sort of new experience for you to be back in that environment, because how long is it since you've been directly involved with the school? Quite some time.
Yes, I have. Basically, when Bunny retired, which was in 2006, you know, I haven't been involved really at the school since then. But
it'll be great to go back now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot has changed in those intervening 14 years.
A lot of things have changed. Well,
and society has changed.
Society has changed, but from what I gather and what I notice is that a lot of the things in the school itself is still the same, you know.
The way it operates.
The way it operates and the way it used to be. But obviously, a lot of new things in place there.
Well, that'll be exciting to see. And your next piece is an unusual choice, Tussen Tränen.
Tussen Tränen, yes. This is from the series way back, Ballade für Enkelin. And these two musicians, Richard van der Westhuizen in
Lochner
de Kok, they're amazing. They've got such a unique sound. And if you listen to this song, it's you can absolutely picture and hear the trains in your head. I love trains. I've loved model trains since I was a little boy. I still would look at them. I miss on our railway tracks the steam locomotives that was seen everywhere earlier years. But these two are great musicians, and I've got a great love for Afrikaans music as well, like with all the other music, but especially these two. They magnificent musicians.
Richard van der Westhuizen and Lochner de Kok performing Tussen Tränen. That was Tussen Tränen by Richard van der Westhuizen and Lochner de Kok, the choice of Vaughan van Sail, my guest in People of Note. And actually, your choice of music is quite wide-ranging. And here's a piece by Charlie Chaplin. Just tell us about that.
Smile. This is a piece done by the Drakensberg Boys Choir during lockdown. So it's actually one of these virtual videos that they made, which I think was done amazingly under the direction of Bernard Krier, who's there at the moment, and or currently. And this is done amazingly well, you know, during this lockdown period.
Because it's not easy to do these things.
Not easy to do, and the boys did very, very well.
Yeah, and because I've been doing a few lockdown things, and it takes forever.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
You done some too?
We have worked on one with one of my choirs with a virtual video. As far as I know, all the choruses have recorded their bits and pieces, and I think they're busy editing, but I know that it just, the amount of time that goes into this.
It takes forever.
You work longer hours now.
Yeah.
If you've got something to do than what you work with when we're on the go.
And when people are working from home, they get up, they don't have to drive anywhere, they sit down at their desks and they work. They don't take so long off for lunch and things like that, and then they just work because you're there.
Precisely.
It's amazing.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
So productivity for some people has improved enormously, I think.
No, for sure. No, I agree with that.
So here it is, Smile. This is a Charlie Chaplin song sung by the Drakensberg Boys Choir School. That was a recording done virtually with the boys contributing from their homes or wherever they were.
That's correct.
Yeah, and it's Smile by Charlie Chaplin, the choice of Vaughan van Sale, who's my guest in People of Note. And we're sort of coming near the end of the program now, and one of the pieces you've chosen is Barcelona, which is a crossover between an opera singer, Montserrat Caballé, and a pop singer, Freddie Mercury, which is actually where a lot of music is going these days, crossover. And it's important, I'm sure, for the choir as well.
Exactly. That's exactly the reason, Richard, why I chose this piece, because I actually like it a lot. I love this crossover between these two brilliant singers and musicians in their own right, and this majestic piece. I mean, it's just, it's huge. I love huge. I love energy. I love, I thrive on it. And, you know, if I can work with a choir with a lot of energy, you know, it just makes my work so much more pleasant, and I thrive on that. And this is what a piece like this does as well. It's like the other recording, which I really like, is the Panis Angelicus of Luciano Pavarotti and Sting. I just enjoy this.
Yeah, it's putting unlikely combinations together.
And it just shows you how it can work, you know, that that music is such an international language. And, you know, to see, for instance, somebody like, I watched the video of Pavarotti and Sting the other day of Panis Angelicus, and you could see that Sting was not quite in his comfort zone, but he gave it his all. And I think it was pretty, standing next to Pavarotti.
Yeah.
And trying.
It inspired him.
It's inspired him, and very overwhelming. Yeah. So I really enjoy this.
And in fact, I remember doing a version of Barcelona with the Drakis from one of the early Starlight Classics. We made a CD again. Okay. So they must have made quite a lot of CDs over the years.
They have. No, yeah. there's many CDs that's been made over the years.
Well, here come Freddie Mercury and Montserrat Caballé performing Barcelona. That was Freddie Mercury and Montserrat Caballé performing Barcelona, the choice of Vaughan van Sale. And we're right at the end of the program now, and you just mentioned off-air that you have another choir that you run.
Yes, no, it's the choir in Pretoria, which is the Laerskool School Anton van Wouw Kinderkoor at Laerskool School Anton van Wouw. And actually, we did an international tour to Sweden 2 years ago. They're from grade 4 until 7. And a lot of energy also from the choristers there. And I, with all, like all the other choirs, I miss all of them during this lockdown, lockdown period, which I'm sure you, the same with your choir.
We certainly have been missing it. And I just gather from our conversation now the energy that's going to come to the Drakensberg from January the 1st next year when you start there. And that adrenaline is what drives all of us, I think, and the working together with people, which is so important. I mean, it's a fantastic part of our work.
Absolutely. We're very privileged and very blessed that we can do this sort of work and that we can work with people who continuously inspire us as conductors, choir trainers, and we try to do the same towards, you know, for them. And then the audiences, you know, it's like a three-way street for me always. It's the choir, myself, the conductor, and the audience. We must keep on inspiring each other.
And in fact, it's very much like an electrical current which flows through a conductor, literally.
You're totally right when you say that. And I know that from your performances as well. You can just see it. It's you, that channel of that electrical current flowing.
And I'm sure that's what you're going to bring to the school when you start there again. And that's it. We've come to the end of the program. It always goes so fast.
It does. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And we thank you at home for listening. You've been listening to People of Note on Classic 102.7 with me, Richard Cock, and my guest tonight, Vaughan van Sale. Thank you, Vaughan, for coming in.
Richard, it was such an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me, and it's great to speak on the program and for all the listeners and Classic FM. Thank you so much.
And the last thing I want to say is if you're interested, then marketing@dbchoir.com is where you can get information. 036-468-1012 is the number. I'll be with you with full works throughout the week, Monday to Friday. And, of course, I'll be back next Sunday with another People of Note. So thank you all for listening. Thanks to Matabataba Khadebe, who's helped us put this program together. And until next time, from all of us here, we wish you a very good night.